great song. Has a lot of meaning. And welcome to Red Velvet Media Special Edition show on a Wednesday with Spencer Drate as my guest co-host, which will be great. And today we have Val Kinsler, who's also known as Valkyrie, and she's in New York, and she is doing some amazing projects besides just her usual thing where she teaches at school. She teaches, she's working at the New York public school system as a facilitator of her music pool songwriting program. And, she's doing a lot of really cool stuff, and she's working on a current event that we're going to have her talk a little bit about, and that song especially, which we opened up with, Help You Hurt Faster. So with that, I am going to bring Val into the studio and also Spencer Drate. Sorry, my voice is going a little bit today, and this is Holly Steffi. Hold on. Let me bring Val and Val, are you there?
Hi, Holly. Hi, Spencer.
And let me bring Spencer in. Hold on a second.
All righty.
Okay, now, wait, I'm turning up my volume. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, Hal.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, welcome to the show. And
thank you.
I, you know, Val, you're like always so busy doing so many things, and you've played with some amazing people, and you continue to still play with some amazing people. And I know you're working on a project right now. Before we get into questions, which I know Spencer and I both have, and
sure.
I just want you to introduce yourself a little bit and talk a little bit about the project you're working on right now.
Okay.
Why don't we do that, and then we could talk about the song we opened up with.
No problem. Women's History Month, or Her Story Month, is coming up in March.
Yeah.
And each year I do something to commemorate. Since 2014, when I wrote a song called Rock and Roll Women, I was inspired to try to create more unity in our community among women artists, and not only women musicians or women rock musicians, but women entrepreneurs, moms, anyone who felt basically cast aside, who didn't have enough support in their life and felt the power of self-expression and redeemed through the arts when they engaged in the arts. So I created these New York City Women Who Rock concerts at Tammany Hall in 2014.
Awesome.
It was really successful, and it was a benefit for a nonprofit organization called Recording Artist Development, which was produced by the track we just listened to, Help You Hurt You, was produced by Philip Carroll, who's the founder of that nonprofit label, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my actual Val Kinsler band, Joe Vasta, David White, and John Isle playing on that track, including myself. So so I thought it would be a great track to address issues of trying to support others as women typically do when they're going through life. We're known as the caretakers, but what invariably can occur is that we get burnt out, we feel stressed out, and we feel unacknowledged at the end of the day. So hence New York City Women Who Rock. It's kind of commemorative and in support of anyone
yeah.
who needs acknowledgement. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Wow.
What do you think about
big
that,
time.
Spencer?
So, yeah. And,
I love
and,
it.
And
I love it.
Yeah, so and women are typically not that supportive of each other. It's really strange. I have discovered the roadblocks along
yeah.
the way. I have a core group of women who are continually, you know, in sync with the intent behind these events. And then I get kind of what I call the fly-by-night geek, okay? And no offense, everybody's where they're at. It's just like if you go to a kibbutz in Israel, it's not for everybody. Somebody on the kibbutz might feel more entitled, and it's not the best model for them to live in that type of situation. Somebody else is a perfect situation, all inclusive. So I try to keep an all inclusive momentum, and I do get some people who want to exploit or sexploit the message. You know, let's talk about TNA. And so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, and I created a group, which is still together. I just rehearsed with them last night, called Chicks and Axe. Chicks and Axe is the antithesis of TNA, okay? I don't want to get into it.
That's perfect.
So basically, yeah, so we're kind of like, you know, we're just a bunch of, some of us are moms and some of us are just regular, you know, rock and roll gals. And we do this kind of gritty, heartfelt music, and some of it's originals and some of it's reinterpreted covers. So that's been really fun. And the earlier event inspired a group called Moon Goddess. Moon Goddess was more spiritual, Celtic, dancey rock. And whereas Chicks and Axe is more like a chick hop, hip hop. So Rock and Roll Women, mm-hmm. that song, which we do, is a Rock and Roll Women Need No Forgiving. We're just trying to make a living. Driven to extremes forbidden. Let's raise a torch for rock and roll women. And it talks about the hardship of being a woman in a culture with, you know, quite frankly, a bit of a virgin whore complex. If you're too assertive, they may see you as being aggressive. And God forbid that should happen, right? And if you're not the ideal physically, they may see you as an unattractive prospect to get corporate sponsorship. You know, it's like if you don't stay on that conveyor belt of expectation or sexpectation, I dare say, then you may be ostracized socially, which, you know, so Chicks and Axe and Rock and Roll Women, New York City Women Who Rock, it's all about supporting the underdog movement of women who really work hard to carve their place in society as mothers, as musicians, as artists, as art-trepreneurs. So we're not simply just, you know, beating ourselves over the head
trying to rescue
everyone else. Yep.
No,
anyway.
I get that. And, you know, I think the intention behind what you're doing is really good. And before I forget something, I forgot to say something at the beginning of the show. I have to wish Brianna down in San Diego a very happy birthday. I'm sorry. I just had to do that.
That's
really important. Yes, yes. It's her birthday, 18 years old, most important birthday, when you're 15, right? So
beautiful.
Here we are supporting you. Yeah, no.
Wow.
And
great.
I hope she has a good birthday. Yeah, but I forgot to say that at the beginning of the show, so I wanted to say that really quick. But, you know, that goes along with, you know, helping women up, you know, like you're talking about. You know, it's really important. And I love the whole thing where you're doing the music and how you changed it. And instead of it being the little fairy music and the whatever, it's now this one's like you're saying like the real axe music, which is great.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah, we have a lot of interesting artists. This is the first year, by the way, that we're doing an entire fest that lasts a week. So we're doing 7 events starting on March 3rd at the Bitter End and moving forward from there. And on the 4th, the day after the Bitter End event, we're doing a Sanctuary for Families benefit. Sanctuary for Families motto is "In love, there is no violence." They support fractured families torn apart by addiction and other issues and help them to gain a foothold with lawyer services and landlords that are friendly toward the movement and such. And we've had some amazing artists performing in Harlem at the Shrine from 7 to 10 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4th. It's going to be freaking awesome. And then we're moving on to the 5th with another event at the Greenhouse Cafe with Vanessa Lovestone, who's a bona fide preacher. She's freaking amazing. She says we need to go meteoric and stop glorifying mediocrity. And I'm like, amen to that, sister. And she's crazy, crazy cool chick. I love her. And then on
that's awesome.
Denny Monet is a well-known violin player who plays for the UN Symphony. And she's just come back from Africa teaching kids and getting them in the recording studio. So, and then the whole week, the 7th, the 8th, and all the way through the 9th, we have events.
I wanted to bring up something I think is important. My partner, Judith, just got interviewed in a very big women event called She Rocks in L.A. It's held for Susie Quattro is in and a whole bunch of other rockers also. And,
cool. Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
I think people have to realize that what I'm bringing in is that things have to expand, like from just women musicians to like people like my partner Judith, who's she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way, and designed for a lot of, you know, Joan Jett, 8 albums with me.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
it's
yeah.
like, and also there are women engineers, for instance. I think you have to broaden.
Exactly.
I don't know if you do that, but the broaden
no, that's
the market.
No, that's my intention.
And me,
Spencer,
and me.
I think I mentioned that.
And me,
and
too.
You, Holly. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
My intention was not to have it be exclusively musicians. I want women entrepreneurs.
Good.
Women, creative professionals,
exactly.
absolutely positively, because the machine works together. Not only that, but strong women and the men who support us. You know,
right.
we are not like saying, oh, no men allowed. It's not about that. We
I do. I support women.
I know. Dude, you're in. You're an honorary New York City woman who rocks.
And Holly's in, too. Holly's definitely
in. No, Holly, you are totally in. Totally in.
Yes.
Well, that's good
I
to bring
totally
up, though. It's good to bring
women,
up that. I feel it's important.
Children,
yeah.
men, adults. We're all adults, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
We're promoting awareness and trying to just reinforce
you know,
some support. You know?
Yeah.
That is, that. This is so true, Val, because I have to tell you, I know the music industry is just exploding with women talent right now, but there are so many untapped, different areas that women are expanding in, like in science, education, and influencers. I hate to say the word influencers. We're going to come up with a new word for influencers for different things because people don't like that word anymore. But there are a lot of people out there, women entrepreneurs, that are making things, doing things, changing the world.
That's exactly
and
right.
Setting a tone for people like yourself that are creating these events and, writing fantastic music that has a lot of meaning behind it, which I want to talk to you a little bit about, Help You Hurt Faster, but also the fact that you are working at a school in New York, the New York public school system, facilitating your musical school writing program. And I think that is just amazing itself, in itself that you're able to do that. You're also a mother.
Yes.
a musician. Yeah, no. What is it? A Boy Scout. A Boy Scout mommy, which is great.
Yeah, we just sent him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She was
just
telling
him
me
off
a little
the
bit
camp
about
this
her
afternoon.
Son doing good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, today. So that's why we're going to be really on point. But, it's hard, I was a single mother for many years, and having to be everything.
Know.
The brownie troop leader, the homeroom mother.
Oh, my God.
Driving them back and forth to school and all that. And then, she has her stepmom, which did a lot for her, too, everything. So, it's like not just that. So it's a little bit of everything. But getting back to the song we opened up with, Help You Hurt Faster.
Help You Hurt,
let's talk a little bit about the meaning behind that song.
I had a brother who died of a heroin overdose, and
he
wasn't telling us the truth about what was going on, but my significant other at the time noticed what was going on. Long sleeves rolled down in the heat of the summer and nodding out on the bus on our way to a grandmother's birthday and such. And signs because, gratefully that was never a drug that I knew enough to stay away from certain things, God willing, I was led, anyhow, so her perished on the streets of Istanbul Christmas Eve a number of years ago. And, he would not accept help, but I worked as a prevention specialist for the DOE for years, and that was where I started my musical songwriting program, which actually, after my brother died, I was inspired to create that program because I love music. So I was sent to Duquesne University on a Women in Music guitar camp. Martin Guitars does a guitar scholarship through Women in Music each year, so I was blessed enough to be one of the women who got sent there. And I have a song called The Junkie Next Door, One Woman's Ceilings, Another One's Floor. She finally married the junkie next door for my resume CD. And basically the kids, when I played that song for them, they were teenagers, 14 mm-hmm. to 19. It brought forth this conversation that was so amazing because these kids were wise beyond their years, and many of them were exposed to addictions, had issues in their families. And I said, oh my God, there is a need for them to talk about this, but to have a proactive approach so that we have a positive solution and alternative, so they don't dwell in the depression
Absolutely.
And sadness of addiction, but they do something with their emotive, you know, with their emotive responses to the horrors of addiction. And that sprang forth as my musical world songwriting program. So we did a radio show for WFUV, and we were featured alongside Sesame Street and Songs of Love on the Cityscape program. We did a Silence the Violence concert, and it was really cool. But the bureaucracy is difficult in the DOE, as a lot of people know. And I basically just do the after-school program thing now, and I teach privately. And my mission is to incorporate healing and you know, pursue those ends of recovery in my music. So Help You Hurt You basically was a song to the addicts in my life who persist in ways of trying to engage enablers. And it's like, don't ask me to help you hurt you, because it's killing me to do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know,
about
it's like sometimes
thing,
your halo
yeah.
is a noose. It's like, you know,
no,
when
I
the
get
devil's
it.
On the loose.
I get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's basically the crux of the apostrophe, as Frank Zappa would say.
Yeah. No, I think that's really heavy. And, you know, your intention behind the song, you know, speaks in itself. And I know that you're a huge advocate for helping people live a healthy life, you know. And,
it's a fine line to not let yourself be dragged down by someone else's disease, you know.
No, totally. And you've played with some big, I mean, like amazing musicians. And I know that a lot of them are in that, you know, area.
Yeah, I've been really blessed. And
there's,
yes.
So,
yes.
You know, what was that like for you? I mean, you've played with Three Dog Night, John Paris.
Yeah.
Dr. John.
Paris. I used to take my babysitting money when I was like too young to go to bars and sneak in with fake ID, like a Xerox of fake ID from Times Square when it was like Show World, you know, now it's Disneyland in Times Square. But I used to take my Show World fake ID and go to my father's place in Roslyn. And it was hard to get people to go with me. And I could never understand why. And that's where my babysitting money went, to see John Paris playing bass with Johnny Winter, to see Edgar Winter, to see acts like Jean-Luc Ponty, Renaissance, Commander Cody. I mean, I saw some great people. Dr. John, who I later on was privileged enough to become friends with. My ex worked with him as a personal assistant, and that at the same time was when I met Tommy Price. And, you know, I have been fortunate in connecting with some very wonderful musicians who have been, you know, gracious with me. Papa Chubby is another one who I met years ago who's doing great in Europe. He just signed a new deal, I think. And I have tracks that I'm about to release that I did with him years ago. And then, of course, Joe Vasta, my boyfriend, my bass player, my love, you know, who's been Tommy's, you know, partner in rhythm for ages through the Billy Idol, Joan Jett, Mink DeVille stuff. And now we've been together for almost 7 years, and we're working on our forthcoming record. We already released Nothing Sacred About Hatred
in
2015. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe's
recovering.
Wanted
to talk about
that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Your newest stuff that you're working on now. What are you working on?
Yeah.
You're working on
it's
a new
great.
Thing
we,
now.
We have,
you told me.
We have a lot of brand new tracks. I did do some, I did some demo work with a producer called Russell DeSalvo. He's wonderful. He worked with Rachel Platten, who did the fight song. It was the Democratic Party theme song last year. And he's worked with Celine Dion and Lionel Richie, and very good producers. He produced a song of mine called Every Day. Every Day Love Ricochets, Even As the Bullet Spray is the theme of that song. And another one called What's a Place Like This Doing in a Girl Like Me. So en route to the EP, we are working on another collection with Joe and myself and David White and John Isle to formulate these tunes and, you know, a new CD. So we're going to the studio and basically in pre-production. We will be performing on the 7th at August Laura, which is at 94 Avenue A, and we're doing an early 7 p.m. set as part of the New York City Women Rock Festival. So, but we don't perform as regularly because we're holding our energy to do this pre-production and then do a massive release.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's amazing.
But it's been great. Yeah, and Joe has done so much
for my music.
Where
are you recording, Val? We're
in pre-production right now, just going into the studio, and then we're anticipating going into a studio in Brooklyn that somebody that Joe knows, someone who has previously worked at the Hit Factory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this sounds exciting. When are you thinking this is going to come out? The end of the year?
Probably over the next couple of months. And, you know, it's been hard because as we get older, people have experienced issues. It's very important to stay healthy. I'm passionate about health issues. And, you know, Joe is recovering from some very serious health stuff. He's getting stronger by the day, and we're very grateful for that. You know, hauling gear and driving from gig to gig and fine-tuning your budget and getting your crowd out from behind their computers to actually come out, and sometimes it's raining, you know, and it's a lot to do for folks who have been in this for so many years. The business has changed so much. It's a kind of a quick fix, clickbait, push button music business these days. It's all digitized, and to get people connected on a grassroots level again like they were in the 1960s is a tall order, frankly. So that's one of the things that I make a part of my mission with the New York City Women Rock Fest. I really try to inspire people to come out and have some fun and feel the difference between seeing music live and getting to know the musicians and getting to appreciate all that goes in to doing that half hour set or that hour set or that three set night, you know, because there's little to no knowledge.
They just don't know.
They really don't. They pop themselves into a studio or they're recording in their home studio, but they're not really roadworthy. I have Chicks and Axe is backing a couple of artists for this upcoming fest. And, you know, it's cool and we're into it and whatnot, but I have to I got to say, look, we got to map it out, set up the scaffolding and rehearse and get back to the woodshed. And then I'll get back to you. Send me your track. Send me the chart and I'll review it with the gals. And then we'll have you come in and step up to the microphone. But it can't be ass backwards, you know, because it just doesn't work that way. There's got to be it's a professional situation and it has to be addressed the same way. But, you know, folks get excited about they get excited about hopping on stage, and I understand that. I love to stage perform as well, but there's so much that goes into it before you get to the stage.
There is. Like, you know what? I could say the same thing about a radio show. There's so much that goes on before
the preparation
a radio
show.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. You just,
right.
I mean, you know. It's
making
sure the music's
mom,
right.
You know? Yeah, got to get everybody watered and fed, you know, dot those I's, cross those T's, and make sure you are going to take care of the household and whatever, and then you get to do your art.
Exactly.
Just the way it is, man. Yeah.
You know, I think that what you're doing is really setting an example for a lot of people. What does your son think about what you do?
Oh, he's terrific. Oh, my God, he's such a blessing. What a gift. He's playing drums, and he sits in with us. He's already done a couple gigs with the Chicks and Axe.
Oh,
heck yeah. Oh, he's good. And a couple of times during a gig we did in Pennsylvania, he turned around to check if it was him playing, because our violin player, Via Lizzie, you know, she had her son there, who's 21, who plays drums and saxophone. And Jesse and Johnny, her son, were switching off. And during one of my originals, I had to turn around. I said, who is playing so soulfully and so perfectly on the beat? And it was Jesse. And I was like, my God, played with such maturity. I was really impressed. He's from Tommy Price, which is obviously a good sign. One of the world's greatest rock drummers ever.
Right.
He's gotten
hits
from Joe.
Awesome. We've had Tommy on quite a few times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tommy's great. He's very encouraging and supportive, and it's so good for kids where they're, you know, to be raised up with music. And as an older mom, because I had, you know, I'm older now. I had Jesse when I was 46. So I had him, my God, now he's almost 13. And it's just, it's wonderful. It's stressful being an older parent because, you know, there's a lot that comes along with that for the ride. But aside from that, I just would be lost without my Jesse. He's such a blessing. And especially after losing my brother to the heroin overdose, 3 weeks later, I lost my stepson to an asthma attack.
What?
And their birthday passed. It was February 15th for my brother Herb, February 16th for Jesse Johnson, Walter Johnson's son. And sadly, and I named my Jesse in memory of Jesse Johnson. And there you go.
See,
you know, but you know, God is good.
God is good.
That's all I can say, because, you know, I never anticipated that I would get pregnant after all those years. And it was just, it really, really was like a gift from the heavens, you know.
Wow.
Hey, Val, remember I met your son. Remember we met at that?
You met Jesse at the Kastabi event.
Yeah, and Jesse is, I had such fun talking to him. I mean, he really picks up. He picks up, very smart, picks up, and he's a live wire. That's the other thing. He's a real drummer. He's a real drummer. I pick up the vibe, you know.
Yeah, and he loves hanging out with grown-ups. When we go to visit my mom in the nursing home, he's like playing bingo with them, and I'll be like, you know, I'll be tickling on the ivories, playing some music for them. Jesse's playing bingo, and he remembers everybody's birthday, and he remembers their name, and he's floating around like, you know.
Really?
So
sociable. Oh, that's so funny.
So sweet. They light up when they see him.